All right, let's dive into private equity secondaries today. We're going deep with a research report from Callan, the investment consulting giants. To really get a handle on this, I think sometimes misunderstood part of alternative investment.
Yeah, definitely. It often doesn't get the attention it deserves, but it's pretty interesting. Think of it like this. You're an investor in a private equity fund, but then life happens. You need to get your money out sooner than expected.
Oh, okay, I see.
That's where the secondary market steps in.
Yeah.
It provides that much needed liquidity and flexibility for investors who are already in the game.
So it's like finding someone to take over your lease, right? Instead of being locked in, you've got an escape hatch. But what I found really eye-opening in the Callan report is the sheer growth of this market, from $22 billion back in 2014 to an estimated $100 billion in 2024. That's not just growth, that's massive.
It really is. There are a couple of things driving this surge. First, private equity as an asset class is becoming increasingly popular. You've got more and more investors looking for ways to diversify and boost returns beyond traditional stocks and bonds.
Thanks, huh?
And second, there will always be situations where investors need to rebalance their portfolios,
Sure.
maybe cover unexpected expenses, or simply shift their investment strategy. As the private equity world keeps growing, so does the need for a strong secondary market to handle these transactions.
So it's like a pressure valve, keeping the whole system flowing smoothly. But let's get to the performance. How do these secondary investments actually stack up? The report talks about this intriguing concept of quicker returns.
Right, the key here is timing. Secondary funds often distribute capital faster because they're buying into funds that are already further along in their life cycle. Imagine joining a marathon that's already half over. You haven't run the whole race, but you're closer to the finish line than someone who's just starting out.
Okay, so we're not talking about get rich quick schemes, but rather a potentially faster return of capital.
Precisely. It's important to remember that both primary and secondary investments typically follow what we call a J curve pattern. That's an initial dip in returns before they start climbing. But because secondary funds come in later, their J curve is usually less pronounced.
So they might start generating positive returns sooner, but does that ultimately mean they'll deliver lower overall returns compared to those primary funds?
That's the trade-off you need to consider. You're essentially trading some potential for those huge long-term gains for faster access to your money. This is where the report's analysis of IRR and TVPI becomes really important.
Okay, for those of us who don't speak fluent financial acronyms, can you break down IRR and TVPI in plain English?
Sure, IRR or internal rate of return is basically the annualized return you're getting on your investment. It's a measure of how fast your money is growing. TVPI, or total value to paid in capital, on the other hand, measures the overall magnitude of those returns. It's like looking at how much your initial investment has multiplied over the life of the investment.
So IRR is about the speed of the return, and TVPI is about the size of the pie. What did the report say about how those secondary funds perform on these metrics?
They found that while secondary funds generally deliver IRRs comparable to their primary counterparts, they tend to underperform on TVPI. And this makes sense, right? They're entering the game a bit later, potentially missing out on some of that initial growth spurt.
Right. So you might be getting your money back faster, but the overall profit might be a bit smaller. But there's another interesting finding in the report. Secondary investments tend to have lower risk. Is that because they're typically more diversified?
Exactly. Secondary funds often hold a wide range of underlying companies, sometimes hundreds or even thousands. This helps to spread the risk and reduce the impact of any single company's performance on the overall portfolio.
So if I'm someone who prioritizes a smoother ride and faster access to capital secondaries, might be a good fit for me.
Potentially, yes. But it's all about finding the right balance for your specific needs. Remember, lower risk often means sacrificing some of that potential for those huge long-term gains.
Got it. It's not about saying one is better than the other, but rather understanding the trade-offs and aligning your investment strategy with your individual goals.
Now, there are certain situations where secondaries can really shine. The Callan report highlights four key scenarios where they could be a valuable addition to a portfolio.
Let's unpack those scenarios and explore the strategic advantages that secondaries can offer. All right, so we've talked about how secondaries have their pros and cons. Now let's dive into those specific scenarios where they really stand out. The report highlighted four of them. What's the first one?
So the first scenario revolves around risk and time horizon. If you're an investor who really values stability and wants quicker access to your capital secondaries, could be a good option. They tend to be less volatile because they're so diversified, and they offer faster liquidity compared to primaries.
That makes sense. If you're a little more risk averse or maybe have some shorter term liquidity needs, secondaries give you a way to get into private equity without taking on as much risk as you would with primaries.
But
What about the second scenario?
the second one focuses on the early stages of building a private equity portfolio. When you're just starting out, those primary fund commitments can create concentrated risk because you're limited in how many investments you can make.
Yeah, you're putting all your eggs in a few baskets, essentially. So how can secondaries help with that?
Well, secondaries can help reduce that concentration risk right from the start because they already hold a diverse portfolio of companies. They provide instant diversification. It's like getting a head start on building a balanced private equity portfolio.
Instead of waiting years for your primary fund investments to branch out, you can get that diversification up front with secondaries. That's pretty interesting. What's the third scenario where secondaries shine?
The third one is all about using secondaries strategically during those economic downturns, or to balance out some of those higher risk strategies you might have in your portfolio.
Okay, now this is where it gets really interesting. Why are secondaries especially valuable during market turmoil?
Well, during those volatile times, those bid-ask spreads widen, and that creates opportunities to buy assets at a discount. And remember, secondaries often use leverage, which can actually amplify returns when you're buying assets at those lower prices. It's like being a smart shopper who knows how to grab a bargain when everyone else is panicking.
I like that analogy. So secondaries can actually capitalize on market volatility, potentially turning a downturn into an advantage. How about balancing out those higher risk strategies? How does that work?
Let's say you have a big chunk of your portfolio invested in venture capital, which we know is high risk, high reward. Adding some secondaries to the mix can provide stability, helping smooth out the overall risk profile of your portfolio. It's about building a more balanced and resilient investment strategy.
So it sounds like secondaries give you a lot of flexibility to navigate different market conditions and manage risk. All right, let's move on to the fourth and final scenario. What is it?
The fourth scenario focuses on the lower implementation complexity of secondaries. They're a really good option for smaller investors or those who don't have the resources to build a huge diversified portfolio of primary partnerships.
So it's like a shortcut to private equity diversification without having to do tons of due diligence on a bunch of different primary funds.
Exactly. Instead of making numerous commitments to all those different primary funds, which can be really time-consuming and resource-intensive, you can achieve broad exposure through a single commitment to a secondary fund. It's a more streamlined and accessible way to tap into the private equity market.
This is all incredibly insightful. It's clear that secondaries have a lot to offer in these specific situations. But as we've talked about throughout this deep dive, manager selection is super important. Why is it so crucial in the world of private equity secondaries?
Because investors can't perfectly replicate those hypothetical market portfolios the report uses. Their actual returns will really depend on the specific investments they make and the managers they choose.
So it's not just about understanding the market, it's about finding a manager who can actually execute the strategy and deliver those strong returns.
Absolutely. Manager selection is arguably the most important factor in determining your success in both primary and secondary investments. You need to find a manager with deep secondary market expertise, a solid track record, and a philosophy that aligns with your investment goals.
That makes sense. You're essentially trusting them to navigate this complex market and find those hidden gems. Now, the report also talked about how the secondary market is changing, specifically the rise of those GP-led transactions. Can you explain what those are and how they're different from traditional secondaries?
Sure. Traditionally, most secondary transactions were driven by limited partners or LPs who were looking for liquidity or wanted to adjust their portfolios. But we're seeing more and more general partners or GPs initiating these sales now.
So instead of the LPs wanting to exit their positions, it's the fund managers themselves who are driving these secondary transactions. Why would they do that?
There are a few reasons a GP might want to restructure their portfolio. Maybe they want to focus on a smaller group of companies that they have a lot of confidence in. Or they might have some LPs who need to get out of their investments for some reason.
So it's not always about the LPs looking for an exit. Sometimes it's a strategic move by the GPs. But how does this shift towards GP-led transactions change things for investors who are considering secondaries?
It adds another layer of complexity. These GP-led deals often have more concentrated positions, sometimes focusing on just one company. That's a very different risk-return profile compared to buying into a diversified pool of hundreds of companies like you usually see in those traditional LP-driven secondaries.
So it's kind of blurring the lines between secondaries and direct investments.
You could say that. It creates a spectrum within the secondary market itself with different levels of concentration and risk. For investors, it means they need to do even more due diligence. You have to really understand why the GP is doing the deal, what assets are involved, and how all of that fits with your own risk tolerance.
It sounds like the secondary market is always changing and becoming more nuanced. Does that mean historical data might not be as reliable a guide for future expectations?
That's a great point. The report emphasized that historical data can be helpful, but it might not capture all those little details of this evolving market. As with any investment, past performance doesn't guarantee future results.
So it's even more important to have a knowledgeable manager who can adapt to those changes and make smart decisions.
Exactly. Now, with all this information about secondaries, what are the key takeaways our listeners should keep in mind?
I think the biggest one is that secondaries aren't a one-size-fits-all solution. It's not about jumping in just because you hear about potentially faster returns or lower risk.
Right. It's about understanding the nuances, the trade-offs, and how they align with your own investment goals and risk tolerance.
And of course, finding the right manager who can guide you through this complex, constantly evolving market, someone with experience, expertise, and a proven track record.
Exactly. With the right approach, secondaries can be a valuable tool for sophisticated investors who are looking to diversify their portfolios and potentially enhance their returns.
This has been a really fascinating exploration of private equity secondaries. I feel like we've only scratched the surface of this complex and intriguing market.
There's always more to learn, but hopefully this deep dive has given our listeners the knowledge and insights they need to start asking the right questions and making those informed decisions.
We've uncovered a lot about private equity secondaries, the nuances, the potential benefits, and how important it is to pick the right manager.